Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you. Great to be back. Amen. And I'm really excited about tonight, excited to minister this word with you. You know, it's amazing how God never stops. Man, it's like it's just a constant schooling. That's all it really is. You think you finally learned something and then you realize that you still really know nothing. Maybe when we realize we know nothing, maybe he'll actually be able to do something with us. I can't tell you specifically the week over the inauguration, how I so badly wanted to say something. And then I realized that who really cares what I think? Does it really matter anyway? Is the opinion of man really that important anyway? What we need to do is we need to hear clearly what he says, whether we like something or whether we don't. If we can just line ourselves up with heaven and with what God is truly saying, man, the voices, I don't want to hear them anymore. I just want to hear his voice. I want to hear his voice. And so before I left, the last time I preached a word on the anointing and walking in the anointing and what it means to walk in the anointing. And I said to you just before I closed the service that next time when I speak on a Saturday night, I'll talk to you about flowing in the anointing. And the first thing I want to say is that I hope that when I taught you on walking in the anointing, on receiving the anointing, and walking in that anointing that God has for your life, that you've realized that there is no secret recipe. There is no exclusive keys that are exclusive to some. That there is no perfect method for receiving the anointing in your life. It's really quite simple. God is interested in being in relationship with you. And out of that relationship will flow the anointing. The word anoint means to smear or to rub. And so when God anoints you, it's when you're with him in his presence that there is a smearing and a rubbing of who he is that actually basically comes on you. And it's when you go out from that place, being with God, walking with him, that that anointing, that presence, that smearing or rubbing will just be on you. And so many people have so many methods. And I said to you last time that I will not share with you, I may have in the past, but I will not do it again, what I do every day as a devotional in the morning, how many hours I pray, how many minutes I pray, how many seconds I read the Bible, how many this and how many that, because the truth is I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like he made you. And I want you to find a way to be in relationship with him that draws you closer to him. The vision for our church is to teach and demonstrate the love and power of God. And that will produce the fire of God in your life, a passion and a fervency, a hunger for him that nothing can quench. If you leave those two things, love and power, out of the church, we become emotionless. Think about that for just 1 second. And we become powerless. Although they like to say we should have no emotion. Okay. We're not going to get into that tonight. So once you begin to experience the anointing, once you begin to have that in your life, you have an encounter. I remember I shared with you last time when I was very, very young in the Lord, my desire was just to experience, just to have that anointing come on my life. I would see men of God and my own pastor specifically, I would see him move very powerfully in the anointing. I would see the presence of God manifest through him when he would lay hands on the sick. I would see the power of God touch someone's life and change their life in an incredible way and thought to myself, how can this be that God would be willing to even work through a person that way? It's amazing, and I wanted it so bad. And so I began to seek the Lord desperately and pray and get into his presence because that's what I saw, so I kind of just copied that. And I began to seek God that way, and eventually the Lord really used me in a powerful way one night at a youth meeting. I was praying in my room at home. Many of you have heard the story. I'm going to really cut it short because some of you have heard this a couple of times. I was praying at home and nothing had happened. And finally, my hands began to kind of burn. Everyone has a different experience. Went to the youth meeting, and that night I was supposed to hold the oil for the guys laying hands on the people. And while I was holding the oil, the youth pastor came to me and said, "Put the oil down. I want you to start praying for people." And I began to pray for people. And it was the first time that the power of God actually moved through me. And I thought, wow, this is incredible. This was just so awesome. One of the things about the anointing, when it really begins to operate through your life, you'll begin to experience God in a very incredible way. I said to Naomi while we were away this week, I said, you know, when I think about the times that God has really used me as a vessel in a powerful way, there's only one thing I can describe it as. When it really flows, when it really operates and it manifests through you, the Holy Spirit touches someone's life in a very profound and very powerful way. And the only way I can describe it is it's just so pure. It's so holy. It's not yours. It's Him. And once you've tasted that, once you've experienced pure Holy Spirit, the presence and the power manifest of God in your life and through your life, it's hard to explain, it's hard to articulate, because it's one of the most incredible things. I remember when I would do long series of meetings like Holy Spirit Fire conferences or Feast of Pentecost. In the beginning, we would do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we would preach and lay hands, and I would go for it. And by Wednesday night, I was so full of the Holy Spirit and so full with the presence of God that come Thursday morning, and I would go into mourning. I would physically be in anguish, because the whole week, every night, the anointing would increase. The more I would pray for people, the more I would minister to people. And it would be like I would be in this bubble of just this presence of God. And then you wake up the morning after the conference and it's like not there anymore. And you think to yourself, this is awful. It was so awesome. It was so amazing driving home after a service where God has moved really powerfully. And I would be in the car and my whole body would be tingling because of the presence of God, because of the anointing. I'd be driving home after a meeting and I would just begin to cry out to God and just say, this is so incredible. This is so amazing. And it would sort of linger on me for just a while. I'm sharing all of this for you for a reason. Not because I think I'm great, because I promise you I don't. I'm just fortunate to have experienced it. And I've come to realize that so many people make it so complicated. They make it sound so unachievable, like you have to be a select individual. You have to do this, climb so many mountains, and do this, and be this way, and it must be that way, and you have to say so many Hail Marys and whatever. And only then will you be anointed. And then now there's keys to keeping that anointing, and if you don't do this exactly like this, you're going to lose it. And I've realized over the years that it's so wrong, because it's not about you. It's about Him. The question is, what kind of vessel are you? What kind of conduit are you? Because that's really what it means to be anointed, is that you are a conduit for the presence and the power of God to move through your life and actually touch somebody else. It's absolutely incredible. I so badly want to try and describe to you just how amazing it is praying in your room and the presence of God fills your room, and you can tell that it's just not normal. It just wasn't the same as the prayer meeting you had every other time, and this time was just something happened, and then you come into a meeting and it's just not a normal night. Something different happens that night. Something amazing, something powerful, something pure, something holy. God comes down and He touches people through individuals, through you, if you let Him. Are you a good vessel or are you a bad vessel? Now, I'm not going to talk to you about sin and all that stuff. Listen, sin will affect the anointing on your life. Don't do it. And if you do, repent. Repent quickly. By the way, repent means turn from it. It doesn't mean, I'm sorry, and you're doing it again right away. Repent means to turn from it, and it's hard sometimes. I'm going to give you a key to overcoming that tomorrow in a major way. See, pastors and their keys. What kind of vessel are you? One of the things I've realized about the anointing is that everyone I know that God is using or has used in a very profound way has been tested. They have been squeezed. You know, the anointing, the Bible speaks of new wine into wineskins, new wineskins. A wine comes from a grape. In order for that juice to come out of that grape, it must be pressed. It must be squeezed for the good stuff to come out. It has to be squeezed. Some people just want to be anointed without the squeezing. And the truth is, you'll never get to Z without B, C, D, E, F, G. It takes time to develop you. I remember when I was very, very new, God moved really powerfully and then he didn't move at all. I remember having seasons where I thought, what has happened is God left me. It was not that he'd left me. It was that I wasn't ready. I was going through different seasons. I had to go through some real difficult stuff. And let me tell you something. I'm still going through difficult stuff. Because I'm constantly being pressed. Because God wants more. So he can use me more. He wants more of you so he can use you more. But there's going to be some pressing. Listen, even Jesus had to go into the wilderness and be tested, pressed by the enemy. If you are the Son of God, some testing, some trying will come. It's not going to be easy for the anointing to just flow out of your life. Joseph went to the pit first after he had dreams about everybody bowing down before him. He has this incredible dream. This is your destiny. You're going to be like a king. Even your brothers will bow before you. He goes to a pit. Then from the pit, he becomes a slave, goes to the palace. Things are going really great for him. How many of you have been there? You've had a really rough time. You've been pressed. Now all of a sudden, the doors seem to be opening. Everything seems to be going well. And then suddenly you're in prison. And you think it's over. Because even in prison, even in the season you're in right now, there's some pressing that's taking place. And if you hold on, if you stay true, if you constantly remember who you are and what God has called you to be, there will be a season where he'll take you out of the prison and put you in the palace. And the Bible tells us that he was the second greatest in the land of Egypt. Only less than Pharaoh himself. Wow. The one who was in the pit. God had prepared him. Can you imagine being in prison, thinking about your brothers bowing down before you, the dreams that God had given you, and thinking, I'm giving up, I'm done. I'm done, I'm in prison. What's going to happen? But God has a way of taking you through that if you allow him and taking you to where he's called you to be. David was anointed to be the future king of Israel. Anointed. You will be king. And straight after the anointing, his father must have said to him, get back to the sheep. Oh, king you. Kingy boy, get back to the sheep boy. And while he was dreaming about everything God had called him to be, he decides to go over to visit his brothers while they're fighting against the Philistines. And while he's at the Philistine camp, he sees everybody else full of fear, and he makes this decision to take on Goliath, and he wins the battle. And you think to yourself, after a victory like that, man, it can only go well from there. Listen, it didn't. David went into the palace, got kicked out of the palace, became the most wanted man in Israel, had to run from the king. Oh, king you. And eventually, after some pressing, after some trials, after some tribulations, after some testing, he became anointed as king of Israel. They even referred to the Messiah as the son of David. Wow. God uses unusual people, but you have to put yourself in a position where you're always open to God no matter what your circumstances are and never give up. Now, when we talk about flowing in the anointing, let's just get to basics. Let's get to facts. Is that okay? I remember I used to watch the guys. I used to watch them pray for people. And I would see that they would lay their hands this way. And I would see they would wave their hands a specific way. And I would think, that's the way. That's the key. They would blow out of the side of their mouth or whatever. They would do something. And I think, man, that's it. Ah, got him. That's the secret. Well, I'd want to know. I remember I sent an email many, many years ago to an evangelist here in the United States. I said to him, all I want to know is I want to know how much you pray. Just want to know, because if that's what you do, brother, that anointing, I'm going to be doing it just like that. So how did they flow in the anointing in the Bible days? I'm going to give you about 5 keys, and then I'm going to teach you a lesson. Are you with me? All right, the first way that we see the anointing move in the New Testament is one where they speak the word. They speak a word and God's power manifests through that word. You can call it a declaration. You can call it a prophetic word. You can call it a word of wisdom. I don't care what you call it. What it is speaking a word with faith and a miracle takes place. The anointing is released and something happens. Let's go to John 5, verse number 5. John 5, verse number 5, a famous story, and this is Jesus now. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, everybody say, Jesus said to him. He's about to release the anointing. Jesus said to him, "Take up your bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk." Now you can say it's faith. You can say it's whatever you want to call it. The fact is, the Bible tells us he spoke a word. The word was, "Take up your bed and walk." The anointing is released. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And there's a whole reason for that, but we're not going to get into that. Oh, well, you know, Pastor Alex, that's Jesus. I'm so glad you said that. Let's go to Acts 3, verse number 1. Acts 3, verse number 1. Let's compare apples with apples. Is that okay? Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the 9th hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, everybody said, Peter said. Say, Peter said. Now the anointing's about to be released. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. When did the miracle take place? I don't really know, but what I do know is that there was a declaration. He made a confession. He said, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." I don't know how you're going to interpret that in the Greek, in the French, in the German. I don't really know what language you want to interpret it. What I know is the Bible says, and Peter said, and when he said it, when he took him by the hand, when he made that declaration, the anointing was released and the power of God was released and a miracle took place. That's 2 healings. What about this one? Let's go to Acts 10, verse 42. We see God move through just speaking. The anointing can fall just while you're speaking, whether you speak to someone or you speak about God. When you're speaking about God and the presence of God is with you and you've been in His presence, you've experienced His love and His power, you've experienced relationship with Him, your words carry an anointing. Your words carry the presence and the power of God. Acts 10:42, Peter's speaking to the Italian people or the Roman people, whoever you want to call them. He's busy speaking to them. And the Bible says this in verse 42, Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach. He's busy telling them what Jesus commanded them to do. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believed in him will receive remission for sins. And while Peter was still speaking, everybody say, Peter was speaking. Say, Peter was speaking. Wake him up. Wake him up now. Wake up, my boy. Wake up. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the words. He spoke. He spoke. When he spoke, and he spoke with the presence of God on his life, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them. And the Bible tells us that they all began to speak with tongues, that there was power released. The presence of God was released. The anointing was released. When did it get released? When they spoke. So how do you flow in the anointing? The first thing you have to do is open your mouth. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, I don't know if I can do that. You're at the cash register at Publix or Walmart or wherever. One day somebody said to me, don't say Walmart anymore. There's people from Walmart in our church. Hallelujah. Someone listened. Someone actually listened. And God tells you to speak. If you don't speak, there can be no miracle. There can be no release of the anointing. The greatest fear of faith, or the greatest enemy of faith, is fear. Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it does? What if something does happen? I'm not telling you now to Bible bash, but just if God puts something in your heart, just say it. I know it's easier said than done. So the first key is to speak, and the anointing will flow through speaking. The second key I want to share with you is one that we know so well, and that is laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. The Holy Spirit will move. The anointing will flow through laying on of hands. Acts 13 verse 11 says this. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was brought over and could in no way raise herself. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. Everybody say, laid his hands. Laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. When he laid his hands on her, the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit went through his body, into her body, and she was healed. Oh, well, you know, that's Jesus. I'm so glad you said that. Acts 28, verse number 8. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. Everybody say, laid his hands. The anointing is released through laying on of hands. Well, Pastor Alex, God has never used me in the anointing. Have you ever laid hands? Well, you don't let us lay hands. Yeah, I know. You need to get some fruit. Go out there and lay hands, man. Yeah, I heard you. It's okay. Acts 19 verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The anointing is released through laying on of hands. The Bible says that through the laying on of hands, great signs and wonders were done through the apostles. So it wasn't only Paul, it was all of them. Laying on of hands is a doctrine that the church is supposed to practice. Why? So that the anointing can flow. The first thing we do is we speak. Sometimes you speak. I've prayed for people and said, "You, God's going to heal you," just speaking to them. Other times you lay hands. Two ways in which the anointing will flow through your life. If you don't do them, don't expect the anointing to move through you. The third one is blowing on people. Blowing on people. It's very quiet in Vero Beach. I'm just going to give you some examples from the Word. Is that okay? John 20:22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus blew on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. I remember when we planted the church, one of the biggest problems that people had with me is that I blew on them. Why did I blow on them? Because the Bible tells me that it works. So I did it. And it worked. But listen, if that's too much for you, let me give you the next one. Spitting on clay. Spitting on clay. John 9, verse number 4. Jesus is speaking and he's ministering. He says this, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, and night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Come on. So we see through spitting on the ground and picking up the clay, Jesus takes it and then anoints the man's eyes. He takes the spit and he takes the clay and he rubs his eyes, and we see the anointing move through that. Are you going to try it? But that's too much, right? Well, how about this? How about, you know, that's Jesus and that's quite out there. But the Bible tells us that Peter, in Acts 5:14, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter, the shadow anointing, passing by might fall on some of them. His shadow would fall on them and they would be anointed. They would be touched and changed. Demons would cry out. People would be healed just by the shadow. Listen, you thought just a minute ago that it was way out to talk about spitting on the ground. But I'm telling you now that you can be so anointed that just your shadow can touch someone and heal them and deliver them and set them free. What else? What else? Or how else can the anointing flow through your life? Listen, for those of you that are really worried, don't worry, I'm going to land soon. Acts 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. Everyone say unusual miracles. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Handkerchiefs and aprons. Jackets, scarves, cloths, whatever I can get my hands on. You pray over it that the anointing will touch somebody's life, and you put it on them and they get healed. They want to stick that coronavirus thing in my arm, put that injection in my hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you just, whatever this thing is, that Lord, if it gets in my arm, that Lord, it will not by no means harm me. Oh, are you worried about the coronavirus vaccine? You worry on your own. If I've got to take it, I'll take it. Now, let me show you something. That was just to provoke a few of you. Number one, are they all the same? No. Every method is different. But there is one thing in common with every single one of these stories. Please forgive me for the vaccine. Am I going to take it? I don't know. Okay? I'm just Pastor Harold. Anyway, okay. Let's just move on. Break the yoke, to destroy the yoke of the enemy. Sometimes we worry so much about all the little things that we forget what's truly important. Jesus came to save the world, which means that you are important to him. Let's go to a little story in the Old Testament that can maybe teach us something about the anointing. 2 Kings 4, verse number 1. 2 Kings 4, verse number 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditors are coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Then Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house, watch this, but a jar of oil." One of the most prevalent things in the Bible where we compare the anointing to is the oil. In the Old Testament, it was the oil, the anointing oil. All this woman had left in her house was a jar of oil. Then he said, watch this, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere." Everybody say everywhere. "From your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." You see, when it comes to oil or the anointing, in order for it to begin to flow, you need vessels. You need vessels. In this story, the first thing the prophet says to her is, "Go and get vessels from everywhere." Everybody say, everywhere. Where do you need to look for someone who needs a touch from God? Say it again. Say it one more time. Everywhere. Everywhere. School, work, gym, your job, everywhere, your home. There are vessels everywhere. Everywhere. So he says, "Go and get vessels everywhere from all your neighbors." Who should you go and try and get? All your neighbors. The second thing he says is, "I want you to go and I want you to get," look at this now, "empty vessels." Empty vessels. Sometimes in the church, we want to try and do whatever we can to attract people from other churches. Or, you know, you should leave your church and come to our church because our church is better. But the Bible talks about going out and getting empty vessels. We need to get vessels that are broken. Jesus came to save the hurt, the lost, the dying, the poor, those who needed an encounter with him. Now listen, you can sit in church your whole life and be an empty vessel. So you can get them from wherever you can find them. Saved for 40 years or saved for 5 minutes or not saved at all. If someone is empty, go get them. If someone needs a touch from you, from God, go get them. He says, "Go and get vessels, but get empty vessels." And then he says this, man, not just a few. Not just a few. "Pastor Alex, what do I need to do so that the anointing will flow in my life?" Touch as many people as you possibly can. Minister to as many hurt, broken, dying, lost, addicted, whatever you can find, whoever you can find, go out and find these empty vessels and listen to me. Not just a few. Well, you know, we had a thing a couple of years ago. You know, if each one can reach one, it's a disgrace. One. Can you bring one person to church in the whole year? And we didn't get it right. One. Well, you know, I'm anointed and the anointing must flow through me. How many vessels did you minister to? How many vessels, empty vessels, did you reach out to? You've got a lot to say. About how we should do things and how we should flow in the anointing and we mustn't lay hands that way and how dare you blow on people. Who cares what I do? It's what I'm doing. It's what's happening on the inside. It's the method means absolutely nothing. The question is, are the empty vessels here? Are the empty vessels in your life? Because there can be no oil if there's no empty vessel. Have you ever noticed that you get these groups, I'm not going to say churches, groups, churches, whatever, and they want to be exclusive and they're so full of the anointing, but yet there's no one that they're ministering to. You know, we need to educate them and teach them and make them anointed and holy and special and separate. For what? If there's no empty vessels, there can be no anointing. Because what's it for? The anointing is to heal the brokenhearted, is to set the captive free, is to preach and to bring liberty and to bring healing and to bring deliverance. Jesus came to save the world. If you're not going out, if you're not making an effort to reach someone who needs to be touched, if you're not reaching out to that broken person, if you're not reaching out to that lost person, if you're not reaching out to that person in need, there can be no anointing. Go to the next verse. Where's the verse? And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set the full ones. And set aside the full ones. In other words, when there are empty vessels and you pour into them, it will be endless. The anointing, the oil will continue to flow out of you. If you put yourselves in opportunities, in an opportunity where people need to be touched, where people need to be, I'm so scared I'm going to lose the anointing. Find someone empty. Find someone broken. Find someone lost. Well, what do I do? Speak. Lay hands. But do whatever you got to do. But preach the gospel. Speak the love of God. Demonstrate the power of God. Minister to them. It doesn't matter how you do it. God will tell you what to do. He'll show you what to do. Well, that method doesn't suit my theology. I don't care. Watch. Go to the next verse. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought themselves to her. And she poured it out. Next verse. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. You read it. So the oil ceased. Now there's two lessons here. Number one, don't ever allow the enemy to stop you from ministering. Never stop ministering. Never give up because of what you did wrong. If you're still alive, you're still standing. You've got to keep on doing it. Well, what if it didn't work last time? Keep on doing it. Find an empty vessel. The enemy doesn't want you to find an empty vessel. He wants you to stay in your young adult group. You want to grow it? Go find some empty vessels. Don't become a little club. Youth group, adult group, every group. I really am not picking on you. You should know me. I hope you know that. I should have rather gone after Mike. Anyway. You shouldn't do that. Yeah, okay, whatever. That's, yeah. When there are no more vessels, the oil dries up. What do I need to do to flow in the anointing? What's the secret? How should I blow? How should I lay hands? No. The secret is find someone in need. Jesus didn't come to teach us how to lay hands. He came to teach us to save the world. He came to teach us to love, to heal, and to deliver in His name, for His name's sake. All you are is a vessel that will be full and continue to overflow if you find other empty vessels that you can minister to. But if there's no one, this church will dry up if we get comfortable. Well, you know, you shouldn't worry about people. Come on, really? What Bible are you reading? They brag in the early church. They tell us from day to day how many thousands were added. Well, you shouldn't worry about that. Of course you should. Every life matters to Him. Well, you know, you shouldn't worry. You shouldn't just try and grow. I'm going to try and grow. I'm going to try everything I can to grow the church, so we can touch every life that we possibly can. You want to see the power of God manifest? Bring a whole bunch of heathens in here, and you'll see God move. You'll see God touch. Let me ask you a question. There are many of you sitting here this evening. You talk about that day that you got touched. Well, tell me the state you were in on that day where the power of God hit you so hard. It doesn't happen anymore. It's because your posture has changed. Where are the empty vessels? Father, tonight in this place, You said to me, Lord, that this would be the year of souls. I pray, Father, that we will no longer look at people and say, Lord, what do You want to say to them? Lord, I pray we will look for the broken and the hurting. We will look for those that have a need, Lord. And then I will ask You, what is it that You have to say to this person, Lord? Father, for Jesus came to heal, to deliver, to set free. I pray, Lord, that we will be hungry like Your Son was hungry, to minister to those that were in need. The religious people frustrated Him. I pray, Lord, that we will never become religious, even though I know we always get religious. I pray, Lord, that we will have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I pray, Holy Spirit, that even in this night, You will give us a fresh zeal and a fresh hunger. What's it all about? What's it all about, Lord? It's all about Your Son that came to save the world. Lord, I pray that we will stop looking at men and women of God. We will stop looking at ministries, but we will put our eyes on You, Father. Our eyes on Jesus, the Son of God. When we look to see what we should do, we will learn from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What was His theology? His theology was to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to minister to the lost and the hurting. I pray, Lord, that You will bring empty vessels in Vero Beach, empty vessels from the schools, empty vessels from the marketplace, empty vessels from the business circuit, empty vessels, Father, bring them in, Lord. Bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, I pray that we will look even in our own homes for empty vessels, empty sons and empty daughters, empty mothers and empty fathers. Someone who's hurting, someone who has a need, someone who has a financial need, someone who has a spiritual need. Lord, I pray that You will open our eyes. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit, so that we can see so that we see, Lord. Give us a burden. Give us a burden, Lord. And all we ask is that you will come. Come like you did at Pentecost. Come like you did with Paul and with Peter. Come, Lord. Every life matters to you. Every life matters to you, Lord. There is only room for one king. You are the secret. You are the mystery. You are the Holy One. And there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Holy Spirit, even tonight in this place, those who are hungry and thirsty, your word says that they shall be filled. Fill them up, Lord. Fill up every vessel in this place tonight, Lord. Lord, even ourselves, even our own lives, we become empty because we stop seeking, we stop hungering and thirsting for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you cause us tonight to keep our eyes on you. The mission, the vision, the purpose, the plan that you have for us. What is my purpose? Souls. 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 Every life you can touch. Every individual's life you can impact. Whether it be your brother or your sister, your mother or your cousin, your aunt or your uncle, your neighbor or your employer, your employee or your colleague, your friend, your person at the gym, the person at Walmart, the person at Publix, the person at the restaurant, the waitress that served you. Every person is an opportunity, is a vessel, is a vessel. And Father, I pray that you will cause us to see. Lord, this city needs to be turned upside down. It needs to be turned inside out. Lord, I know that the answer is not a politician. The answer is Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we will keep our eyes and our focus on you, Lord. Things must happen. Leaders must come and go. You will have your way, Father, but the church has one vision. The church has one mission. The church has one heartbeat, and that is your heartbeat. Souls, souls, souls. For eternity is real. Heaven and hell is a reality. Father, I pray that we will not allow one person that we know to be lost, Father. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for the brothers and for the sisters. I pray for them now. I pray for my family, my own brothers and sisters and family members, uncles and cousins. I pray for them now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let this vessel that I am be filled with oil to minister to the empty vessels in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your anointing, Lord, rest upon us, Holy Spirit, that we can go out and minister with love and with power. Your love and your power in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now give the Lord a clap. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a shout in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There is none like you, Lord. We look for things, for peace in so many places. And you are our peace. You are our strength. That each one in this place, Father, experience the anointing. The presence of God. The power of God. We were never called to be a powerless people. We were called to walk in His presence. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands right now. If you want to, if you don't want to, you don't have to. Just fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them tonight, Lord, to overflowing once again. Give us a passion for the lost. Give us a passion for souls. Give us a passion for the world, Father. That we would not judge the world, but we would love the world. Vessels, vessels, souls, lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, just receive now. Fill them now, Holy Spirit, I pray. Every person in this place that desires more of you, that you would fill them up. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Anointing. The anointing of the Holy One. Jesus the Christ. The Son of the living God. There is no other besides you. Only you can satisfy. Fill them, Lord. New beginnings for many people tonight. A fresh start for many people tonight. Take it. It's yours. Take it, it's yours. In this atmosphere, if you need a miracle in your body, take it now. Take it now. Take it right now. Take it now. The anointing, the presence of God is here. In this atmosphere, anything can happen. Take it right now. I speak it over you now. Be healed now in your body, in Jesus' name, right now. Father, I thank you. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. And I give you all the praise. Presence, Lord. Thank you for every precious person in this place. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Take your seats for just a moment if you can. I want to close by saying this. If there is no vessels, there can be no anointing. Imagine you're the most anointed person on earth, but you have no one to share it with. What's the point? Right? So don't go and look to see. Listen, you will learn lots of things from individuals. But put yourself in a position for God to move through you. And His word says that He will. Think about Philip. Philip hears the eunuch, puts himself in a position, and God uses him. And we can tell you story after story after story. Think about it. Every time the anointing flowed, there was one thing there. Vessels. People. Every miracle that Jesus did included an individual that needed a touch from God. Well, you know, I want another touch from God. By now, you should be able to get it yourself. Blow on you so you can fall over again. For what? You should be doing the blowing by now. Can't give you milk forever. The idea is to raise up disciples, not to keep on doing the same thing to the same people all the time. If we stop growing, the anointing will go down. The anointing will decrease. telling you, that's what will happen. Is everybody okay tonight in Vero Beach? Amen. Oh, well, Pastor Alex, you took that scripture out of context. Okay. But every time there was someone ministered to, it was a vessel. And I don't think that Jesus was trying to teach us that we must spit on the ground for the anointing to flow. I don't think the aprons and the handkerchiefs was the point. I don't think the blowing and the laying on of hands was the actual point. The point is that there were people there, and God will use you in any method. That's why I think Peter waited too long to lay hands. So while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everybody. Because the Holy Spirit must have thought, hey, come on, dude, really? By now, if Paul was here, he would have called them all up. They would have all been on the ground by now. You're taking so long. I'm just going to fall on them. Empty vessels. If there's empty vessels, he'll move through you. I have been amazed sometimes how the things that I think will work don't work. Because my emphasis is on the method. I said to the Holy Spirit before I came to church tonight, I said to him, Lord, when I look over the crowd and you want me to minister to somebody, the Lord has a way of speaking to me. I said to him, I want to ask you to change when I look the way I think. I want you to show me the people that have the greatest need, because I know those are the ones you would want to minister to. Now, think about it. I didn't have to share that with you. God always has a way of pointing out who he wants to point out. But sometimes you think a certain way, where if you can line yourself up with what he thinks, think about it. Jesus walks past the blind guy that needs to be healed. Who does he minister to? The blind guy. The ones who have the needs, those are the ones who need to be ministered to. Listen, we all have needs. I've sat in services and, God, if you're real tonight, he'll pick me. Many times. When I was young and stupid. Okay? If you do it now, you might be old and stupid. I don't know. Okay? Don't get offended. Okay? Offense is a choice. Okay? I've done it recently too. Don't worry. So I'm old and stupid too. Okay? You mustn't get so serious and so religious. I watch people when I preach. They spend more time trying to check if I'm right, and they miss the whole message. They miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. It's on Facebook. You can go watch it afterwards and you can critique everything I've said. But don't miss what God wants to do in this moment in your life. Who would have thought we'd talk about flowing in the anointing and it would be like this, right? Man, I think God's busy shaking us up as a church. And it's time that we change our focus. We need to see things the way he does. I'm not saying I see things the way he does. I'm not saying that. But I'm desperately asking him for that. You know, I also honor great men of God that have done great and wonderful things. I honor them. It's wonderful. But man, it's time to do something that he wants to do now, a new thing, whatever it is, Lord. Lord, you know, you didn't come then, so I want you to come now. What can we do? What do we have to do to usher in the greatest harvest of all time? Must we do the same thing they did 7 years ago or 25 years ago or 30 years ago? No, we can learn from them, but let's press in even harder. Let's go a little deeper. Let's search a little bit more. Let's be a little bit more desperate. Let's be a little bit more hungry. Let's be a little bit more thirsty. Let's be more intentional. Let's not focus on the methods. Let's focus on the mission. Let's focus on the purpose and the plan that God has for each and every one of our lives. Hallelujah. Man, I thought I was going to lay hands on everyone tonight, but the Holy Spirit said no. I don't know why. I was planning. I thought, hey, tonight we're going to be at 11. But it's just not going to happen. I don't know why. bring some empty vessels. I'm not saying you know, I'm empty, Pastor Alex. Go home and pray, man, and you'll get filled up. I don't need a touch. I'm going to have to fly to Toronto. Okay. Go to Toronto. But what are you going to do when you can't go there next time? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going. Listen, I went to Jensen Franklin's church last week. It was awesome. But I'm not saying that I have. That's not my. You can't be dependent on that. By now, the majority of you sitting here should be vessels ministering to so many. But you still want another touch. So do I. And I promise you, He will encounter you in ways you can not even imagine when you start putting yourself in a position to minister to others. That's when the dreams come, the visions come, the encounters in your room. You get called out in church services. My theology's been shaken. Because there will always be more. There's always going to be more. But we have to focus on the mission. Are you with me? Did you guys learn something tonight? Amen. Now come back next week and we'll lay hands on everyone. Amen. You know, maybe. Who knows? Whatever the Lord wants to do. One thing I will tell you about the anointing, I will tell you this, is the more you minister, the more it increases. Even when I lay hands, the more I pray for people, the more I call people out in a service, the more it increases. What does it tell you? The more vessels, the more the anointing. Right? That's why there are certain individuals on the planet right now that will have services for 5 hours. And the reason why is because they're waiting. And the more they can begin to flow and get into that flow and minister to people, the more that anointing begins to increase. They don't watch the clock. Pastor's been going for 2 hours. It's time to go home now. Right? But not in Vero Beach. Right? Amen? On Sunday mornings, that's really difficult because I'll get in trouble with Jenny if I go over my time. Right, Jenny? Because it's really difficult with children's ministry. That's why Sunday nights offer more for the things of the Spirit. Not that we don't do that on Sunday mornings, but Sunday nights will flow more. Saturday nights will flow more. Are you with me? I really believed that I would come in tonight and we would just boom, just be like, but I can't do it. I think God wants to show us something. Next week I'll lay hands. I don't know. We'll see, you know. But the point that I'm trying to make is that stop looking for what I can get and start thinking about what I can give. Are you with me? I don't need to lay hands on you again to receive the anointing. I've laid hands on you so many times. Right? Right, Pastor William? Sit down, I'm not laying hands on you. Amen. Now for those of you that have not been to the e-course, please come. Because it's an introduction to the supernatural that every believer must experience. I would talk about this once a month in the church, but some of you would be like bored because it's my favorite subject. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the gateway to the supernatural. And I teach it from the Bible, word for word. So please make sure that you come to that. I really hope that tonight has blessed you. I can tell you that it's so good to be back. And it's such an honor for me to be your pastor, even though they're messing up my sound. I love ministering. I cannot tell you how thankful I am to God that I have this opportunity to be here with you. And I know that God is going to use you guys in such a profound way. Imagine arriving at church all of a sudden and it's double the size because everyone brings people that they've ministered to in the week. Can you imagine? Each one reach 25 at least. Come on, not each one reach one. Seriously, is that going to be the bar? Is that going to be the level we're going to try and attain? 13 this week, Pastor Mike. John, come on. Right? Brian, I'm so glad there's like all those seats empty because next week, all of those that you're going to bring, brother, right? You better, if you're not here, don't come next week. Don't come here. Don't come because there'll be no anointing on you at all. Vessels, anointed, God has anointed you to reach people that others cannot reach. You've got to do it, right? Amen. And then he'll put you on the pulpit. He's begun to do that, right? And he'll do it more and more. But the gold, like my mother-in-law says, the diamonds are right around us. Right here. In your house. In your neighborhood. In this community. The harvest is plentiful. But the laborers are few. That's what Jesus tried so hard to tell us. And all we worried about is how do we get anointed? How do we get anointed? Pick up your harvest stick and get out there and watch how the anointing will flow through you. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you so much. I'm going to minister this word again on Sunday night. Maybe it'll be totally different. I don't know, Father. This is not how I expected it to go tonight. Your word is so precious, Lord. It's so holy. I pray, Lord, that it would speak to us tonight. Holy Spirit, remind us always, everywhere we are, to look for empty vessels, broken vessels, cracked vessels. Let us look for them. Let us see the way you see. I'm so grateful for this church, Father, for these amazing people that you've brought here. Thank you for their lives. I ask, Lord, that you will bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, lead them and guide them, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray, my prayer has always been that they will come to know you more and more and more every day. That the things of this world will grow strangely dim, that the desire in their heart will be to be with you, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. So tonight in this place, we give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor and we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.